This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen. Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. Next up, it's Living Naturally with Michaela Springer on up for today.
Thank you for that introduction, Nicole. I am Michaela Jones, MD, Integrative Holistic Health Specialist with Living Naturally for Life, and welcome to another show, Living Naturally with Michaela. Today, we are going to talk about clutter. Yes, I said clutter. You may be thinking, though, what does that have to do with anything? You all know that I am all about health and wellness in body, mind, and soul. One affects the other. Balance is required in all areas for optimal health. Well, physical clutter affects the brain, and emotions can affect our environment, which leads to more clutter. Your environment is also often a reflection of what you feel on the inside. It generally has nothing to do with cleanliness or necessarily organization, yet organization can help you control the clutter and feel better inside. So our topic today is clutter and mental health. Is clutter stressing you out? I'll be chatting with my good friend Zeenat Simon, a professional organizer. So Zeenat is a professional organizer and productivity specialist who works with women to eliminate the chaos at home by clutter and too much stuff. Oh, who can relate to that? She's a proponent of sustainable organizing and of simplifying what we own so that we can have more time to spend with the people we love instead of managing our random belongings. She and her husband are the parents of three beautiful kids, and they now live in Miami. So let's bring Zeenat on. Zeenat,
hi.
I am so excited to have you on today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Michaela. It's good to be here.
All right. Awesome. Well, let's just jump right in there. You know, so how did you become a professional organizer? That is very interesting. So how did you become a professional organizer?
Well, I was a chemical engineer working in research and development at a major food manufacturer. But when we decided to have kids, I was lucky enough to be able to stay at home with them. And the vision that I had of, you know, fun days with the babies and toddlers and play dates and going to these mom support groups and then coming home and making healthy meals for my family and enjoying the evening with my husband, that's what I was looking forward to when I said, okay, I'm going to stay home and you know, raise my kids. The reality, though, was postpartum depression after the birth of each child and then a huge struggle to really, like, pull out of that darkness. So I was struggling just to function for the sake of my family, and I was really desperate to be there for them and to be content again. So when our youngest, he was about three, I was finally feeling more positive, more up. But when I looked around me, I realized that what I really wanted to do was simplify just everything in my life. It had been years and years of this constant struggle. And I was sure, looking around my house, that I would never be okay with inviting people over for a play date or for a cup of coffee, given the state of my home, of what everything looked like. And I'm not talking, I'm not really talking about, you know, the toys all over or the pile of kids' laundry, because, you know, those are things that I knew were seasonal, right? That was going to pass when the kids grew older. But I'm talking about the sealed boxes that had moved with us four times that we never opened since we packed them, you know, 10 years before. And I kept putting those boxes in a closet for later. We didn't even know what was in them. I'm talking about the papers that I tried to, you know, file and keep in order. But our papers just basically ended up in sacks on the floor next to the desk or the table because I wanted a little space on the desk or the table for something, computer, books, whatever. And every flat surface in our house had piles of random papers, clothes, packages, toys waiting for battery changes, gifts that we were given that I hadn't put away, boxes of snacks and food that wouldn't fit into the cabinets or the pantry. So we just left them out on the counter and we were grabbing, you know, our snacks from there. Every surface in our house had random stuff on it. And I looked around and I just realized that I had no idea what to do with all of it or even where to start. So at that point, I did what I knew how to do as a researcher. I researched, I read a ton, I found out everything I could get my hands on about organizing, about simplifying, and then I just got to work. And I made so many mistakes. Like I would organize one area only for it to get all cluttered again within a week. And I was scratching my head trying to figure out why wasn't organizing working? I was doing everything that the organizing gurus were telling me, and I couldn't get it to stick. It took a really long time for me to figure out how to organize so I would never have to organize from scratch again, ever. And as I was doing all that research, I found NAPO, which is the National Association of Organizing and Productivity Professionals, and then I realized that this was an actual industry, a profession. So after I figured out the process that worked for me, I tried it out on friends and family, and then eventually I started my business, which is Firefly Bridge Organizing. And I just, you know, what I want to do is teach other people how to do what I did, but without making all the mistakes and going through all the disappointments that I did to get organized just once and for all. Like, you only need to do it once. That is my thing, my mind.
Well, if only, yeah. We all need your help on that, yeah. Yeah, you actually sound a lot like me because in my first career, you know, I was in tech and, you know, I went to school mm-hmm. for engineering as well, so I had that analytical brain. So, yeah,
right.
When I came up against a problem, it was all about, okay, let's research this, you know.
Yes.
So sometimes like you kind of went into it the same kind of way. I'm going to research. I'm going to figure this out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So why do you think, though, that clutter is such a hot topic issue right now? I mean, because you see lots of stuff out there about clutter and, you know, there's like all kinds of organizing tools and you can go into the stores and they have bins and all that kind of stuff. Why do you think that's such a hot topic right now? Why is everybody drowning in clutter?
I think what's happened, and you're right, you know, the container store, I feel like that's an entire store focused on our clutter, on helping us with our clutter, right? So it's huge. It's huge right now. Well, I think what happened most recently, and, you know, there are other forces, everything is up and down, but most recently, COVID really put our homes under a microscope. And we may have thought that we were fairly organized before, only to find out that when we were forced to live, work, and play in our homes for an extended period of time, and we were there with our children, with our partners, with our spouses, with our in-laws, with our parents, we realized that we weren't as organized as we thought we were or as we wanted or hoped to be. And so while we were in the COVID survival mode, we made do with however our homes were set up. We just had to make it work. But now that we're moving into some amount of normalcy again, it just feels so overwhelming to a lot of people to know what to do to organize our homes, what we should be organizing, and so on and so on. And so that's why it's become a hot topic. We want to avoid that feeling of being trapped ever again in a home that's not feeling calm, that doesn't rejuvenate us, but instead stresses us out. So we're really desperate to get organized now before that becomes a necessity ever again, you know, just in case, knock on wood, that nothing like this happens again. But we know now that it's a possibility. And living in a home that doesn't feel good is no longer okay with us. We went through what it felt like to live in a home that was not organized, cluttered, felt too tight. Everybody felt really claustrophobic being stuck at home. And so I think that's why people are now looking seriously into how do I get rid of clutter? How do I make this my house feel like my sanctuary again?
Gotcha. Yeah. same, you know, during the pandemic and the close down and thing, everyone was at home and working from home. Yeah, it's like you kind of get to a point where it's like, what's the sense? You know, you just kind of give up because it's like there's just like stuff everywhere. Everybody's everywhere. Everybody's on top of each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just don't want to deal with it. So you just kind of push it off to the side, and then it just kind of builds and builds and builds. And before you know it, more than you thought it was.
More than you thought
it's like
it was.
Everybody has stuff, you know?
Yeah. And it's never-ending stuff, it feels like. And you know, we just when you look at that as a whole, you're looking around your house and you're thinking, oh my gosh, how did we get here? How is this? How do we own so much stuff? We're not that many people, and we fill our house. And you know that it's true that no matter the size of your home, if you tomorrow you wave a magic wand and you have two extra rooms built into your home, you know that within a small amount of time, those two rooms are going to be fully filled, right? The closets will be filled.
Yeah,
the doors
filled
will be
with
filled.
Stuff.
Yes. It's just, that's just the law of the world. It's like the more room you have, the more we fill it. Yeah. So it gets a little out of hand, a little overwhelming.
All right. So let's talk about the clutter itself for a moment.
Yeah.
What are the main types of clutter and how do they present? I mean, some people, you know that it's clutter, but some people,
right.
you know, may not think of their stuff as clutter when it really is. And it's, you know, and emotionally and energetically, it actually, you know, introduces this element of, like you said, like stress or disorganization, you know, that kind of thing into the environment. So what are the main types of clutter and how do they present?
Well, so I teach people that there are three types of clutter that are ever present in their life. The first is the visual clutter, the physical clutter, the stuff that we see on our desks, in our closets, in our kitchen cabinets. The junk, right? We call it, it's not mm-hmm. junk, it's all your stuff that is just everywhere. That's the physical clutter, we can see it. But the second type of clutter is mental clutter. And that comes from the everything that we're bombarded with, the media, our social media, email, phone calls, texts, Slack, you know, all these messaging apps that are everywhere now, WhatsApp, all the time, all these groups that we're a part of, in WhatsApp, on Facebook, all of those things, that all creates a mental clutter, demands on our time. But not only that, mental clutter also comes from the responsibilities that we have and that we take on. We are children of someone. We're parents to someone else. We're spouses. Maybe we're teachers. Maybe we're mentors. We're siblings. All of those, and we're members of our community, right? Maybe our, you know, our neighborhood, our neighbors count on us. All of those roles create a sense of responsibility and create an amount of mental clutter because all of those roles come with their requirements and their expectations, and that creates mental clutter. The third type of clutter that I tell people about, of course, is the environmental clutter, which is basically how we interact with the world around us, the things that we are generating and then putting out into the planet we live on. So those are the three major types of clutter that we address. And the thing is that when I talk to people about clutter, what they're thinking of is their physical clutter, right? The stuff that's on their desk, the stuff that I can't fit any more clothes in my closet. I need help to get rid of some of that clutter or the toys that are broken or all of those things. We start with that. But what immediately happens is as we start to work on decluttering these things, all of a sudden, people start to ask, why am I hanging on to this? And like me and my three boxes of unopened stuff that I had no idea what was in them, why were we hanging on to those? We'd had these boxes for over 10 years and had never opened them. What does that tell me about what's in those boxes? Well,
you
I didn't
need
them. Right. I didn't need them. But when I opened those boxes and I saw what was in them, one box had all of my, you know, awards and plaques and things like that from the time that I was working. And those were important to me because I had left a career. It was like a portion, a phase of my life that I passed through. And these were all my memories from that. And I looked at those things and, you know, physically it's just pieces of plastic, you know, wooden plaques and that kind of thing and metal, you know, these types of silly things. But why was it so hard for me to get rid of those? when I opened that box, I realized, okay, yeah, I don't need that. But boy, I don't want to throw that away. Why do we feel such an attachment to the stuff that we have in our home? And so that's when we start to think about, okay, this is just having all these things is causing me mental clutter, not only physical clutter, it's taking space in my house, but it's causing some level of anxiety. If I get rid of these, am I going to regret it later on? If I get rid of these, am I going to feel really sad? If I get rid of grandma's, you know, passed down set of china, is someone in my family going to be angry, disappointed in me? Am I disrespecting grandma by getting rid of it? You know, all those things play over and over in our heads. And so what I help people with is to try to clear not only the physical clutter, but the mental clutter too. How do we make the decisions that we are at peace with? And so that's a whole big part of the work.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I know one of the things that I had issue with as my children was getting older was all of the papers and artwork and all that stuff. That, you know, there's such a nostalgic and an attachment to that, you know, because those were like times in their lives, their development stages, you know, and now they're coming home, here, Mom, and giving you, you know, these artworks that they put their heart and soul into it, you know, and then they just kind of, you end up with a lot of them. And on one hand, it's like, it's just taking up space. But on the other hand, it's like, do I really want to get rid of something that was so special? So yeah, I understand exactly what that's going. My kids are adults now, and I still occasionally will come across like an artwork from when they were like 8, and it's like brings tears to my eyes, you know. And it's like,
oh my,
I can't get rid of that, you know.
I think like all of those things are magical, and I mean, you know, you pick out one of these paintings and you remember. Oh, they were so little, so happy, and they were so excited to bring me this. And you see their stages of development, and you're so proud of that. Magical.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to decide, what do I do with these things? Because, you know, imagine like, okay, you have one child. That child is going through, let's say, you know, at least 13 years of school, of being in your home. Those 13 years comes with stuff that you're keeping each and every one of those years. And I'll just mention to you, so my daughter graduated high school 2 years ago. And by the time that she graduated, I went through the same struggle, trying to decide what am I keeping from my, you know, we just don't have room to keep 12 boxes of stuff for each child. Not going to happen. We have 3 kids. So I went through all that, and I, you know, pared it down to what I wanted to keep. And when I showed it to her when she was graduating, we opened the boxes and we went through, you know, the things together. And a lot of her, she said, oh, yeah, this is great. And then she said, but why are you keeping it? So it brought back a lovely memory for her. But for her, it didn't have the same tug you know, at the heart that it did for me.
So we are more attached to it than they are.
We are. And, I mean, rightly so. We're the parents, and so we might have more attachment to some of those things. But absolutely, the kids' artwork and papers and sculptures and everything that they bring home from school, that's a huge portion of what we need to go through. That's not clutter that we're going through. Those are memories that we're going through. So those are things that we need to take our time and think about. And you will happily, after you know what questions to ask yourself, you know how to approach these, you will happily get rid of some of it. And there are lots of strategies to you know, decide what to do with the ones that you want to keep, and because you just don't have room, or you're downsizing. Once your kids move out, maybe you're downsizing to a smaller home or a condo. You just don't have space, physical space, to keep everything. So we make decisions about what we need, what we must keep physically, and then what we can do with everything else so that you don't lose it. It's not never anything lost anymore, but you just don't have to keep that physical memory of it.
Nice. Well, before I move on to the next question, that just made me think of something. Have you ever seen the show Tiny House Nation?
Yes, and it's
you know, this reminds me a lot of that show when they're you know, they go into these people's homes and, you know, and they're getting ready to downsize to this tiny house, and one of the first things they're saying is, okay, you need to decide what is important and what you're going to keep, because you're going to have a lot less, you know, square footage here. So
that's
kind of what that reminds me of. So
yeah.
So anyway. So let's. So we'll keep going. Yeah, I can sit here and chat for days on this kind of stuff.
No, I know.
So I'm trying to keep the show moving along so we can deal within the time frame, because I'd probably go over time. You know, the way that, you know, I can get into this stuff. So, you know, I'm trying to get the most information for the listeners there.
Perfect.
So let's talk about stress now, because stress is one of my big things. Okay, because a lot of the clients I deal with, you know, there's generally an extreme amount of stress that's coming from different areas in their life, whether it's job, home, or whatever. And clutter is one of those things that actually creates stress as well. So let's talk about that for a moment, because I do believe that clutter is either you're stressed out so much that it contributes to the clutter, or you have so much clutter it contributes to the stress. It's like a double-edged sword. Let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about the stress. You know, is that true?
Okay.
Do you find that true for everyone or just some people? You know, what are your thoughts on clutter and stress?
I believe that stress comes from not knowing exactly what to do next. So as an example, so imagine that a loved one receives a medical diagnosis, something pretty serious, something that will require some kind of intervention, but the outcome of whatever treatment you choose is really uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen. Well, the stress you feel at that point is from the uncertainty of what's going to happen, the not knowing exactly what you can do to be sure that they are going to be 100% well. So in the case of clutter, stress comes from not knowing exactly what to get rid of so that you don't have that clutter forever anymore, right? And I just want to share a bit of science with you here, because it's important to understand that what we're feeling when we face clutter is not trivial. And I understand that those of us who are listening to your show right now innately probably know this already. You know it through the feelings or the energies that you're feeling in your home, that stress is causing something. But science also backs it up, right? So clutter has a real measurable impact on our daily levels of stress. A while back, there were researchers at UCLA. They did this study with suburban families, you know, moms and dads with kids, and they asked the two parents, individually to give them a house tour. So it was a video house tour. So they would take a little camera, their phones, and you know, walk around and give a little tour. What they found was that when the mom used words like cluttered, messy, disorganized, unfinished, their cortisol levels, and cortisol is the hormone that's generally associated with stress, their cortisol levels, instead of following a natural normal cortisol pattern, which a normal cortisol pattern will increase in the morning and then decrease a bit in the afternoon until it reaches like a certain steady state level overnight. Okay, but for these moms who were using these words to describe their homes as they were walking around, their cortisol levels stayed flatter and a higher level than normal even overnight, meaning their stress levels never came down overnight, which is the general normal healthy pattern. Yes, when you wake up and you deal with your day and you deal with your, you know, everything, the world that's happening around you, your stress levels will go up during the day, but in the evenings when you're kind of settling down, tends to go down on a general normal day. Will tend to go down a bit, and then you sleep, and then you wake up, and the pattern goes again. For these women, that level never came down. They were going to bed stressed. They were waking up stressed. Stress was with them all day long. And dads, though, not so much, which is another topic, but very interesting. So those are how clutter affects our minds and our moods. And the other thing is that for these moms, the researchers found that their depressed mood also increased throughout the day. These are the women who were saying, my house is unfinished, I'm sorry, it's a little cluttered here, it's a little messy here. Their moods also became worse, you know, negatively impacting them throughout the day. But there's a difference. I need to make the distinction between clutter and the amount of stuff that you own. So you can own a lot of stuff but not be burdened by it, right? Especially if it's a well-organized home and you have the space for all of your stuff. maybe that doesn't bother you. But there's research that shows that clutter, and they define clutter as the overabundance of possessions that collectively creates chaotic and disorderly living spaces. So basically what they're saying is that that clutter does in fact affect mental health, because what happens is that the problem is that clutter as a mass, as a whole, is what distracts us. It's what disrupts us. It's what you see and feel in your home. Even if you're not actively thinking about, oh, my kitchen is cluttered, oh, my desk is cluttered, but we're not actively thinking or seeing or looking at it, but it still is affecting our minds. And again, the stress arises because, you know, we don't know exactly what to do about it right now. If we had a plan, if we said, well, you know, I've got piles of clutter on my desk, I know exactly what I'm going to do about that. I just need 15 minutes to take care of it. But most of the time we don't even think about that clutter, but we know that that desk is super cluttered. Don't know what I'm going to do with it. So I'm just going to put on my blinders and continue with my work. But that cluttered space is still having impact on us. And that's really, you know, a scary thought, that you don't have to see something for it to affect you. And we know that. We know that to be true. So that's why I...
Right.
It affects me when I see, when I walk into people's homes and I see they're apologizing for their clutter. They're apologizing. I'm sorry, Zena, that my kitchen is a little messy. You know, can I make you a cup of coffee? No, I don't need coffee. Let's just, you know, talk about what's happening in your life. I mean, it doesn't have to be, the clutter may not, is a, as you said, you know, the clutter is, could be a symptom of something else. I'm not a psychologist. I can't diagnose any of that. But you right. know that there's more happening. And
there's
said,
always
it's
a connection.
Double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
There's always a connection. Yeah, I have found that when a person's environment is cluttered, they tend to also have what I call the cluttered mind as well,
ooh,
which
yes.
you know, which affects, which is kind of, you know, similar to brain fog. It's like disorganized thoughts, which makes it
mm-hmm.
really difficult for them to manage their day and their things, which, you know, makes the problem even worse, because it's like,
right.
I can't think properly and I can't organize my thoughts. So if I can't organize my thoughts, I can't even begin to organize my home. And so it's a back and forth. It's a double-edged sword.
Exactly.
But you talked about the cortisol here in the science too. And one thing about cortisol in particular is that when that cortisol does not go down at night, and this is where, you know, where my work, you know, it's all about connecting the dots, you know, between
yeah.
all of the different pieces. When that cortisol is up, it makes it difficult for you to get adequate and proper sleep at night too.
Sleep.
which you know, which can also affect your ability to just maneuver throughout your day on a daily basis,
right.
because you're never getting that quality sleep, because your brain is, the cortisol is up and the brain is still active in everything, and it just keeps turning and compounding and everything. So, yeah, it's
yep.
all connected. So
it's
wow.
all connected.
So,
I think
right.
about it
so,
because that happened to me. So, you know, as an engineer,
yeah.
in my work, I was very particular, very organized, and very, you know, linear. And when I came home, I describe it in my mind, everything was like a big ball of yarn. I couldn't, you know, there were like a thousand
yeah.
things to do, and I didn't know what to do first and what to put away first. Blah, blah, blah. And that's why I became cluttered. So I want to unravel that ball of yarn.
The deer in the headlights is like, ah!
Exactly.
All right, so we know that, you know, we need to declutter and organize our homes, okay? But for some of us, there's just never enough time. So how do we get that done? I mean, what, you know, what's your take on this? I mean, I have a gazillion things going on. I'm running a business. I have my clients. And sometimes I just don't have the time to devote to, you know, decluttering my home, which, you know,
right,
I will freely admit I need to do that too, you know. But part of my issue too is that I still have grown children at home that won't pick up their own stuff, so it's more work. And honestly, I get to a point where it's like, why do I even bother?
I'm going to throw up my hands because
nothing's
going to change. Yeah. Well, okay, so you may not like my answer, but I believe that we We do have the time. You do have the time if it's important to you. But, and given that I said that, I think there are three reasons why people believe they never have enough time. The first is that they overcommit. I mean, clearly, we run out of time to do everything we want when we overcommit to things. And so then we're just doing the most urgent stuff first, right now, just to meet the deadlines. And so we're going through our day, deadline after deadline after deadline, fighting this fire, fighting this fire, fighting this fire. And there's really no real deadline for organizing your home, right? So it gets pushed to the end of that endless to-do list day after day after day. And the second reason I think that there's not enough time is because people underestimate or overestimate the amount of time it takes to do something. So if they look around their house and they feel just overwhelmed by all their stuff, they may believe, like most of us do, that it's going to take days of nonstop decluttering and organizing to go through everything room by room, drawer by drawer, so they just never get started. Because like you said, who has that amount of time to spend days, you know, a series of days decluttering their house? That means like nothing else gets done. And we have, like you said, way, you know, we have a ton of things to do. So, okay, so that's the first one. First reason, overcommitment. We tend to take on more than we can do.
Guilty.
And yeah, all of us. The second reason is underestimating the amount of time it takes to do something or overestimating. And when we overestimate the time that it takes us to do something, we fill that time. So if I say, oh, my gosh, I need 3 hours this morning to finish this piece of work, this report that I need to send in, I'm going to take the entire 3 hours. And sometimes we may not need that entire 3 hours. So there are some things that we need to think about there. What amount of time is needed for each task, let's say. So that's the second reason. And the third reason is that people are not focused on their essential. So I think that like when people buy things that are outside of their essentials, I'm talking about like the essential things that are important to you to live the life that you're happy with, right? So whenever I work with someone, the first thing we do is, and it might sound crazy, like you're an organizer, why? And I tell them, well, we're going to do a little vision board here. Why am I doing a vision board? You're coming to organize my pantry, right? But the good thing about that is that it helps you focus, understand what your essentials are, what's really important to you in your home. So when you buy things that are outside of your essentials or you take on responsibilities or projects beyond what are truly essential to you to move you forward, whether it's in your business, with your family, with your community, then, you know, full cluttered homes and cluttered calendars tend to be the result of that. We're trying to do everything instead of the most important things to us. So when I work with clients, we do talk about what's essential to them. We do that little vision boarding thing. And then those conversations happen naturally too as we start organizing. And when they identify the level of stuff or the particular things that are essential to them and they can focus on those things, and organizing becomes a breeze. Like it becomes so much easier. And you can understand that you don't have to spend those 3 full days in a row organizing, like a marathon organizing session. You can actually get it done 10 to 15 minutes at a time, okay? And you know, you might tell me, no way am I going to, you know, clean up my child's entire room in 10 to 15
actually,
minutes. No,
yeah. Actually, one of the things I do is I try to set aside at least 30 minutes where I can just take some time to mess or declutter some stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. So
I think a lot of people do
that,
right? Like
better.
At the end of the night. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people tend to do that. At the end of the night, they you know, you've got 15 or 20 minutes. You're going to clean the kitchen. So at least when you come into the kitchen, you have kind of a clean kitchen to start the day off with. Or they'll put away some stuff in their room, put away some clothes. That's exactly the type of thing that we do. But we just do it a lot more strategically so that we focus on, like, the important parts of your home first, right? So the things that will really have a big impact on how you live in your home, those are the things that we touch first in those 15 or 20 minute, 10 to 15 to 20 minute sessions, right? And, organizing and time management, I mean, all of that is intricately connected. So organizing for 15 minutes at a time is more palatable to people than me coming in and saying, okay, well, I'm going to come in here and spend 8 hours going through all your stuff and telling you what you need to throw away and telling you what you need to keep, and you have to get rid of half your stuff. I don't want anyone to come into my house to tell me that. No. I want you to come in and tell me how do I live my life better.
Yeah, that way I can put a wall up immediately. And it's like, no.
100%. No, I'm not going to organize then. Like you said, I'm going to throw up my hands because, no, I don't want to get rid of my stuff. That's not where we go. Organizing, yes, you probably will need to get rid of some of the clutter, but you will know exactly what your essentials are, and you will focus on that. So that's the way that we go through that process of, you know, I work full-time. I can't do this. I don't have enough time. Well, let's look at where you're overcommitting. Let's look at where you're underestimating how long it takes you to do something or overestimating how long it takes you to do something. And let's look at your calendar and your schedule. And then let's focus on your essentials. That's where we start in the 10 to 15-minute session, and that's how you will eventually get your home organized. And it's not a 2 or 3 year process. It can be a 3 month process. And after 3 months, you'll be living in a home that you're happy in. That's my goal.
Nice. I love that you look at the different elements of the clutter, including the scheduling and everything, because it isn't all just physical stuff. So I love that you do that because that's very similar to the holistic approach that I take. It's like there are different pieces that are coming from different areas that are contributing to the problem. So you kind of have to look at all the things that are feeding into it. So I love that you do that.
Oh,
so
I agree. That's great.
Where do you think that we can start? Because you said about impact. So where do you feel like we can start to make the biggest impact if we're in this situation and we want to start someplace and, you know, where, you know, because I find sometimes with my clients, if they don't see some sort of result right away, they won't stick with it. So you kind of have to do something that's going to make, you know, an impression off the bat in order for them to stick with it. So where do you think, you know, start?
Yeah, it's kind of like those bad weight loss diets, right? They tell you, well, stop eating for 2 weeks and you're going to lose 10 pounds and then you'll stick with it. Like, I need that big impact in my home, so I'll stick with organizing, but I don't want to kill myself doing it, right? So, So that same UCLA study that I talked about before with the moms and dads giving their house tours and other research, a number of pieces of research have shown us that nature has a positive impact on stress, right? So you should start on the open areas of your home. And I'm talking about the entryway when you first walk in, because what you see when you first walk into your house sets the tone for how you talk about your house, for how you feel about your house, for what you know people will see when you open the front door to say hi to, you know, it could be the postman, whatever. But when they see inside your home, this is what they will see. And I will always tell people, if nothing else, if you don't know what your essentials are, you know, you're just a little overwhelmed, you want something to sink your teeth into immediately, start with your entryway. Clear out your entryway and then organize it. That's where I would start. And then other green areas. Believe it or not, your yard, your garden, the space you can see from the window that you sit in most of the time, that might be in your family room, that might be in your desk. What do you see outside the window? If there's, you know, a fallen down bicycle and some broken pots and, you know, some, you know, old tools that are rusting, take care of those. The more that you clear the nature parts of your home, what you can see, the better you're going to feel about your home. And again, like I'm talking about outdoors, it's not inside. Well, why am I starting there? Because those are universal to everyone. Nature helps stress levels, and that's why we go there first. And I think that will have a huge impact on how you feel about your home. And it tends to get the wheels moving a little bit. Once you see that your mood has gone up a little bit, you'll be a little more motivated to attack other areas of your house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, that makes plenty of sense. You know, I love my gardens, and it's one of the things that I tend to. And I have my garden set up where I can see them outside of my windows. And wow, it does help with my mood. When I'm in a bad mood, I can just look out my window and look at my gardens, you know, especially right now when things in full bloom and everything. So, I can see how that would make a huge difference. You know, even if you're inside and you're cleaning, being able to see your garden outside can pick your mood up, and it makes that cleaning process on the inside, you know, go that much better.
Feel so much
better. Because at least,
you
know, that actually makes perfect sense. So,
another tip that I'll give you is that a lot of times when I go into work in people's homes, so depending on where they are, if they're in the city, if their homes are really close to the neighbors, they'll have sheer curtains over their windows, or they'll have their blinds pulled down or their curtains closed because they want privacy. And the first thing I'll walk in and, you know, I'll very tactfully say, okay, thanks for turning on the lights. How about we open the curtains just so we can see everything? I can tell you what a difference it makes to throw open curtains, open blinds, and just let yourself have a connection with nature through your windows. And if you're worried about privacy from your neighbors, something that I bought from our own windows here, especially the windows in the bathroom, is to buy, they're called solar fabric. It's solar fabric, basically kind of mesh-like fabric. If you put that on your windows, and I, you know, in my home, I just use these the 3M sticky Velcro so that I could remove them at any time, right? I don't have to drill or anything like that. But if you just stick that on your windows, you will be able to see everything outside, but during the daytime, people from outside can't see in. And I guarantee you it works, because I'm very, you know, careful about being able to see in my windows. So I went outside and I looked and I peered and I, you know, stood in all the angles and looked in, and I couldn't see a thing. Now, of course, once you turn on the lights, you'll be able to see inside. But during the day, throw open the curtains, open the blinds, open the windows.
Yeah.
If you live in a place where you can open windows, open the window. Let some of that nature in. It makes a huge difference in your mood, and also, believe it or not, in what you can see. So we think that, you know, we have electric lights everywhere. I'll be able to see all my clutter or whatever. When natural light comes in, you're seeing things from a different perspective. The things that people look around and they're like, oh, man, I didn't realize I had so much stuff on my kitchen counter. And it's only because we open and let that natural light in. It makes a big difference.
I actually have solar screens on my the front windows on my home, so I get that.
Yes.
And I'm a huge privacy person too. I was like, I don't want people looking on me. I'm really weird about that. It's like, no, you know, my husband not so much, but me it's like, no, I don't want people looking in here. So, so that's a very good point, you know.
No.
But I'm also what I call a sun girl. It's like, I do much better when I have sunlight. So, you know, I like being able to let light in, because it perks me up. Sometimes, you know, when I'm inside, I have to just go outside and just stand out in the sun, you know, to recharge my batteries. You know, my husband laughs and he tells me I'm solar powered. So it's like, I'm solar powered. You know, so.
I love that. That's funny. I love that. I think that's so true. You know, another quick tip that I give people sometimes is, you know, we're talking about letting nature in or whatever, and in the winter is so hard, right? We have such gray days, depending on where you live. There is just never-ending grayness and very short days, right? The amount of sunlight you get during those crazy winter days is rough. And I tell people, nature doesn't have to mean necessarily the flowering, you know, the blooming flowers and the beautiful green leaves. If you live in a place that doesn't get a lot of that, and, you know, you can't buy, I mean, I would say go buy a bouquet of flowers from the grocery store for, you know, $9 and bring it and live with it for a while, or get natural cuttings, whatever is outside that has a few leaves on it, branches from a pine tree. You know, in New Jersey we have those yellow, I can't even remember the name of them, forsythia or something like that, beautiful yellow leaves on these branches that stayed, you know, brilliant in the winter. I cut a branch out of that and just put it in a jar, in a vase, in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything that represents nature, bring it indoors. And if failing all of that, you don't want to do any of that, get yourself a fake plant. Now, not the plastic one, like a super plasticky-looking purple flower. Something that looks a little more natural, and put it on your desk or put it on, you know, on top of your bedside table. Your eyes will notice that. Even if your mind knows that's not real, your body reacts differently when there's something that feels like nature inside your house. So I would totally go for those things.
Wow. And there are a lot of plants that you can get to that, you know, that are low light plants that, you know, are pretty hardy.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you can, that will last inside even during the winter. So
even in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that tip of bringing nature indoors, because one of the things that I always find that picks me up when my garden's not blooming is, yeah, I like to get grocery store flowers. Just grab a bouquet of flowers, put them in a vase, put them on the table, and it always picks me up, you know. So that's a great, great tip that I wouldn't have thought about, you know, as far as, you know, helping with the cluttered mind and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So what are some other strategies you have for us to organize for a calm, beautiful home?
Well, okay, so let me give you a couple of strategies. So these are not necessarily tactics, you know, the bringing the plant in, or opening the windows. Those are tactics, things that you can do. But things that are really long-lasting, the strategies, not the hacks or the tips, the things that you can really focus on that will have long-lasting effect for you, okay? These things are the things that are going to move you forward with your organizing. So the first, and we've already talked about it, is just find your essentials. I can't stress enough, and I'm sure you do this with the people that you work with too, Michaela, because unless you understand what's really important to you, what's going to move your life forward, what your vision is of how you want to live in your home, how you want to feel in your home, you don't have an end goal. You don't have a North Star that's guiding you. You might just be rolling around in circles. Like me, I had the big ball of yarn in my mind. If I didn't have an end goal, I would never be able to unwind that ball of yarn. So the first thing is, find your essentials. Get help to figure out what those essentials are if it's not clear for you in your mind. And the second thing is to make 1% improvements every day. And we hear this all the time. Find the tiny steps to move forward every single day. So as I mentioned, I teach people how to get organized and how to stay organized in 10 to 15 minutes a day. That's it. And over the course of about 90 days, your home will be organized. Now, if you want to get done faster, of course, you can spend the few hours decluttering, organizing, you know, all of that. And I certainly will support you to do that. But imagine, we all have 10 to 15 minutes a day. We have 10 minutes. I remember when my kids were really little and I would be giving them a bath, they were in that tub for at least 10 minutes splishing and splashing after I'd washed them. They were just playing. And so I would be in that bathroom and I would look under the counter. Is there anything here I can, you know, I need to do? Is there anything on the counter I need to take care of? What's in the medicine cabinet? Are any of these medications expired? So finding those 10 to 15 minutes and what you can do in those 10 to 15 minutes is really important, okay? And then the third thing, so find your essentials, take tiny steps, make 1% improvements every day. And then the third really important thing is to adopt routines and habits. And that went against the grain for me, because I used to think, well, I don't want to live, you know, my life scheduled. I want to be spontaneous. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I want to teach my kids to be like that, like, you know, how we used to live so carefree when we were kids. And nowadays our kids are so programmed, okay, from 5 to 6, you have this practice. From 6 to 8, you have to do homework. At 8, you have to eat dinner. You know, everything is timed. But when you look around, some of the most successful and effective people that you know, they have lots of routines they follow on a daily basis. And, you know, the big names, you know, Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, Richard Branson, Tony Robbins, they all have routines that they follow every day. But what that does, when you have routines that you know you will take care of every single day, it creates space for you to be spontaneous, to be able to be spontaneous. Because if you know that my morning routine, I'll give you my example. My morning routine is wake up, brush my teeth, come to the kitchen, and while I'm making my cup of coffee, I empty the dishwasher. Okay, done. The dishwasher is empty. And during the course of the day, as we eat our meals or whatever, the dishes go right into the dishwasher. So nothing gets piled up in the sink ever. Maybe one pot that I'll have to wash at the end of the night. But in general, that's my morning routine, the very first morning thing. And then there are other routines. The exercise routine. How do you start an exercise? How do you start a wellness plan for yourself that involves certain routines at certain times of the day? So your routines don't have to be exactly timed. There can be flexibility. But in order for them to be effective, they have to be repeated. And, you know, I'm talking about this as like your life. What does this have to do with organizing your home? Because all of these things that you're doing to take care of all of these little things will allow you the 10 to 15 minutes then to be able to organize your house. So that's a really important strategy. Put some routines in place so that you will always have 10 to 15 minutes a day to do some of the organizing or to do some of the maintenance stuff once your house is fully organized.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're getting close to time here, so in order to wrap up, do you have, obviously we would all love to just hire you to come to our house and help us organize and everything, but unfortunately we all do not live in Florida. So do you have a little something available for the listeners that they can get to help themselves where they are?
Oh, sure. Okay, so I have two little somethings. The first thing is I have a podcast called Organizing with Ease, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, which I co-host with my friend and fellow organizer, Deanna Mall. It's called Organizing with Ease, and it's a weekly, you know, at most 40, 45 minutes, and so most of the time it's like 15, 20 minutes. So it's in little bites, fun, exciting, simple things that you can do to start organizing your home with more ease. So that's the first thing. Find it and let me know what you guys think. And then the second thing is, so many people are asking, you know, I've got all this stuff to do, and, you know, the last thing I want to do is organize my house. Like, it's just not motivating for me. And so we procrastinate on some of those things. And so what I've come up with is a step-by-step, simple, easy, you know, you can do this in 5 minutes, guide for how to bust through procrastination in just 10 minutes. So it's going to start like at a higher level and then kind of funnel down to what you can do in 10 minutes to bust through procrastination on anything that you're working on. You don't want to open your pantry because you're afraid of what's in there and get started. Well, this is going to help you get there. This is going to help you bust through that procrastination to get it done, and it's going to be done before you know it. So I've got that for all of you guys, too.
Awesome. Amazing. All right. So I will drop that link on my website for those of you who want to grab it. It's at fireflybridge.com/10-minute-way. Dash beat procrastination. So I will drop that, you know, if you're listening to this later and want to grab that. And you can find Zena at fireflybridge.com, her company there. Mm-hmm. Check out her podcast as well. And thank you guys for joining us today. This has been an amazing talk. You know, as I said, I'm all about body, mind, and soul. And clutter is one of those things that just weighs our soul down. And we don't want to be weighed down with stuff, okay, particularly stuff we don't need. So reach out to Zena to get your organizing help if you need help on the emotional front with, you know, dealing with some of this clutter, which I have dealt with clients with that. Sometimes we just kind of have to get you into the right mental state to be able to tackle those jobs from an emotional perspective. You know, sometimes there's depression, anxiety, as was already mentioned, and some other heavy emotions that are associated with this clutter as well that you need to deal with. You can find me at livingnaturallyforlife.com. And thank you all for tuning in, and thank you, Zena, for being here and sharing your expertise with us. You know, look forward to checking out your guide myself. I'm going to go download that myself so I can have that, because we all need a little help somewhere. So, again, do you have any takeaways that you want to put in before we end today?
I'll just say that you can get your home organized, and all it takes is 10 to 15 minutes a day and someone just to help you guide through finding your essentials, and you can get it done. Absolutely. I have faith in everyone.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, and we will see you guys next time. Have an awesome day. Bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.